The mules are in the corral. Welcome to Mule Talk, and I'm Cindy K. Roberts, your host. On this episode of Mule Talk, I have roped in Nathan Metcalf from Rockin' NT Mules to come back on. Nate, thanks for coming back on.
Cindy, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Hey, did you get to celebrate National Margarita Day?
Unfortunately, no.
You missed it, didn't you? You know, I'm going to have to keep you straight because you're missing out on these important holidays.
I agree.
Okay.
Somebody better keep me alive.
Well, anyway, I'm glad you're here. And so what are we going to talk about today?
Oh, confidence.
Hey, that's a good one. Yes.
Yeah. It's been coming up a lot.
For the mule or the rider?
Mostly rider. Mostly rider confidence, yeah.
Yeah, it can get you. Uh-huh. Okay, so what are these people that are experiencing this, I'm assuming that they've had a mishap in the saddle or something.
Yeah, you know, usually what we have seen is that, yeah, a lot of times it's been from something like a loss of control, for lack of better words.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so that's what we've been seeing. And so that kind of, again, whenever I start getting a lot of stuff, they start going down these rabbit holes, you know, and trying to figure out the why.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of riders have struggled with it at one point or another in their lifetime. I have. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not anything to be ashamed of. You know. So, but I think for me, I think, you know, I look at it a little bit different. I mean, I think confidence and safety, I think they both go hand in hand. And I don't think you can have one without the other.
Okay.
You know, so, and the whole lack of confidence, I think that's something that's very personal. And I think it's, one of those things each person deals with in their own time and at their own pace. And, I feel like it's pretty critical. And it's one of those, you know, and one of the keys to the success is making sure that people are comfortable with each step before moving to the next one. We kind of do the same for our mules. And so I think we should extend that same courtesy to ourselves as well.
Okay. And, you know, I think all athletes go through this. I mean, there's a time in their career when they lack confidence or that something happened. And really and truly, we don't see ourselves as athletes, but in a lot of ways we are. I mean, we go out there.
I agree.
Yeah. So, and you shouldn't be so hard on yourself, you know, if something doesn't go the way you planned. I mean, it's just all part of the whole deal. So,
So
how do you work with people like that? I mean, how do you help a person that has been through a bad thing? And
I mean, it's not a one size fits all type of thing, right? And so, what we see, the common denominator in a lot of this with our clients and stuff is there's a bit of a disconnect between themselves and their mules. And I think, in my opinion, I think that's where the real struggle lies in that whole confidence game. And because I think it's a team effort. And I think you and your mule kind of need to be in the right frame of mind in order to get where you both want to be. What I try to explain to people and show them is when we do talk about confidence, we need to start looking at it as more of a mindset for you. And for the mule, meaning the confidence game is really all about having good control of the mule and you and the mule having the right tools, both physically and mentally, to maintain confidence when the situation arises. Going back to what you asked, if we do think about it, loss of control is what probably got us there in the first place. So why not work on gaining that back?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a spooky thing. If you let that bug you, that concept about loss of control, but yeah. But like you said, that's the very thing that you need to work with.
Yeah, and there's a lot of exercises that we teach that can help get people there. And having correct control of the mule, I mean, to me, that equals safety in my mind. You know, a lot of times what I hear is that there was a spook, a bolt, or mule spun out, and somebody ended up either off the mule or, you know, they were taken for a heck of a ride, and that completely shattered their confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So in response to that, you know, I mean, we kind of developed a little bit of deal, you know, it's there's three pillars of safety. And me and I have talked about this stuff a little bit in different bits and pieces, but, you know, we talk about lightness and softness, you know, keep the mule straight and the impulsion of the mule. And, you know, I really feel that those basic fundamentals apply to any mule. I mean, it doesn't matter if you trail ride all the time or a seasoned show person. But I think having those things in place keep people safe. And, you know, when you and I discussed and we talked about, you know, lightness, it just seemed to be like a little bit of lack of interest in that, you know, and, but it's just simply the resistance to your cues, right?
Okay.
You know, the absence of that resistance. But if you look at that from a safety standpoint, that's a pretty big deal.
So, and if the rider is lacking confidence or feeling apprehensive, mules are so sensitive. I think they pick up on that real quick. And then it's like, it kind of spooks them because it's like, well, who's in charge here? You know?
And that's where it gets kind of tricky, right? Because, you know, the flip side of that confidence game also has to do with having a mule that will set you up for success.
Okay.
And so a very familiar scenario I see is a person that brings us a mule that, you know, this mule is kind of a fire-breathing dragon, and, you know, he's, you know, kind of got a mind of its own type of mule, and doesn't have a lot of respect, and doesn't have no steering, no stop, no, you know, none of that. And when you're in that particular situation, I can't just tell that rider, hey, you need to go do something with that mule, you know. Nor can I say in that situation that more seat time will do them some good. So both of those situations are tough because that type of mule will require, you know, a lot of time and groundwork focused on bringing that mule's mind back to where it needs to be and get him focused and relaxed before we gave him a job. So, I mean, heck, I think anybody would have some competent issues with that type of mule. But, I mean, so the point of that is you really need to have the right mule under you that's going to help you. And I can't express that enough. So that's something that, you know, part of that, the whole confidence thing is that you do got to be aware of that, and you really have to be honest and ask yourself if the mule is a good fit for you.
Oh, that's well said, because let's say you, the rider, made a mistake and then you screwed up. And so you go through this unfortunate, you know, thing with this mule, and now you're not confident in staying with that mule. And that's not to say that somebody else can't, because there's other riders or handlers that have a skill set or would like to work with a mule like that, you know? Yeah, it's okay.
And that's where, you know, that's where you got to kind of start being honest with yourself, you know, and you got to ask yourself those tough questions, you know, and be honest with yourself. And, you know, do you need to send a mule off, you know, for training, or or do you need to sell it to a person that's more suited, you know, for that skill level? But, you know, and sometimes those things, I'm not saying that's the case every time. I mean, I know a lot of people think, now I got to sell my mule every time something happens. That's
right,
not the case.
Sure.
It's just those are, they're tough but necessary questions that people could get faced with during that journey. Because that's a conversation that we have a lot of times with our clients too. I mean, that's one of the very first things that come up when we talk about, you know, people that have had a bad wreck or something. It's like, well, what do you think? Should I sell the mule or should I keep it? You know, and so that, you know, that's where that stuff comes into play.
Yeah. And it's such a difficult situation to deal with. I mean, I would think that's one of the hardest lessons is the confidence game, you know, just trying to stay on top of everything and not have a screw up or a mishap, because that's tough to deal with.
It is. And like I said, I mean, it's a very individual type of thing, and it's very personal to people. And, you know, and you hear a lot of advice that gets thrown out there to people. Well, you know, all you got to do is build confidence, have more time in the saddle. You need to trot more, you need to lope more, or
right,
you need more hours on the trail, and that's going to get you past.
Yeah.
That's going to get you past whatever it is you and your mule are dealing with. I won't discredit that entirely, but eventually you will need to develop, you know, better balance, a better seat. But before they do all that, you know, you got to get the tools for you and your mules to develop together to make sure you end up being successful, right? And whatever time that takes, there's not a time limit on it. And that's what I emphasize to people, you know. And too many times, I do, I see people get re-injured or set back even further by allowing themselves to get talked into doing something that they're not ready for. So it's absolutely okay if you aren't ready to do something. And people need to go easy on themselves when that situation arises. So take the time that it takes.
I was working this colt one time. He was a 3-year-old, and he was showing a lot of promise. And so one day he kind of got on something, whatever, and boy, he bucked a good one. And I was still in the saddle, but it did something to my back, and I was hurting bad. I was hurting bad for a long time. And then I got the nerve to get back up on him, and I rode him. And then he did the same thing. He popped up, but that time it put my back, it lined it up again. So I didn't have to go back to the chiropractor. and then I learned from that day on, man, you don't give them an inch. You keep everything balanced and you know, keep them happy in the bridle and all that. If only my chiropractor could see me now.
Yeah, I'm afraid of
x-rays. Yeah,
I don't know.
Right. So, I mean, this whole mule thing, it's so personal. I encourage people to write diaries, to document, put down your feelings, write what happened with you and your mule that day. And you can always go back, you know, and look at that, and you'll learn from it. I've also have seen people that they're not really honest about their skill set. You know, when they're going to look for a mule or whatever, they tend to, it's like they're embarrassed to say, well, I can, you know, I can do this, but not that. You know, I think they would be doing themselves a favor to be a little more honest about their skills so that they're suited with the right mule.
Yeah. And you're right. People, you know, when they are wanting to buy something, you know, the funny thing is that what we see a lot of is the people, they make emotional decisions on these mules. And to me, I was always taught, you know, don't ever make a business decision based on emotion, and don't buy a mule based on emotion.
Exactly. So, sure.
And what ends up happening is, you know, the people will buy a mule. It's not very, you know, it isn't the right fit for them, and things happen, and not necessarily doesn't have to be a bad wreck, but they can get their confidence, you know, shook pretty good without a wreck. And then they want, hey, you know, there's a problem with the mule, you know, so let me fix it. Well, what I try to tell people is that, you know, to find the right mule for your skill level, you know, seek out a professional before you buy them. You know, have your skills evaluated, talk with people about what type of riding you want to do, and be absolutely 100% honest about your concerns. There's a lot of good trainers out there, and there's a lot of them that will listen to people, and based off that evaluation, help them find the right fit for their riding style and ability.
Good advice. Yeah. So let me ask you this. How many times has your confidence been shot down?
I'm going to say probably 6-7 different times.
I'm probably around 10, and it's only because I'm older than you.
There's been times when it was shaking to the core so bad that I'm like, you know what? I ain't even getting back on one of these damn things. Nope.
Golly.
Nope. I'm done. I'm walking away. I just can't do this anymore.
Oh,
you know,
man.
So, and there's a lot of people that have been there, you know, and so it's a journey. It's a hard road back.
Yes.
But you can get back there, you know, if you've got the right tools. More importantly, it's you know, the your mindset. It's you know, knowledge. Knowledge is that thing that kills that spark of confidence and knowledge, and knowing that your mule, you know, knows how to respond to your cues and doesn't ignore them. And, you know, when you ask, and, you know, it kind of gives people a peace of mind. You know, that's what, you know, that confidence and safety, you know, as I said earlier, went hand in hand. I think knowledge and confidence go hand in hand too. So, you know, the more people learn and spend the time learning that mule and learning how that mule reacts to different things and all of that stuff, it just adds up and it builds, just keeps building that confidence.
That is very well said. Are there any mental exercises that you can recommend, you know, for people to develop their confidence?
That's a tough one. And what I have found is that when people have fear, you know, and it's one of those things that you do have to watch your thoughts. What I see a lot of people do when they have a lack of confidence is, you know, when we start diving deeper into it, and it's like, you know, hey, what's got you scared? And it's, you know, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if, you know, what if he bucks? What if he runs off on me? You know, and they play this scenario over and over in their heads. And I think, you know, from my learning and experience with this stuff, the brain doesn't know the difference between something you're making up in your head or whether it's actually happening.
Okay.
And so when we start playing that movie in our head, you know, we're actually recreating that same feeling. That's why you can sit there and think about getting a wreck on your mule and you'll start to feel, you know, your anxiety rise and,
oh, yeah,
you know, your heart will start racing and stuff like that. And, you know, as far as different things to say to yourself, I think breathing is more important than anything. You know, getting control of your breathing, understand how that works through all the stuff, understanding, you know, how that calms you down. You know, having a solid plan, you know, is also very important, you know, and understanding how you react to these situations and circumstances, you know. So you got all this anxiety built up, and so what causes that, you know, what situation causes that stress, you know, and so understanding where it is that, you know, you're coming from, you know, you can design a plan that can let you bridge that gap, you know, between those points. I've done a lot of different things, you know. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's so personal. Sometimes I've just been like, you know what, I'm just getting back on, I don't care.
Yeah.
And then work through it that way. You know, and there's other times where I've had to take a step back and, you know, oh, you know, go, oh man, you know, this isn't good. And
yeah,
understand,
wow,
that, you know, that there's, I gotta take a little different approach here. You know, so, I mean, there's 100 different ways to do it.
I think, you know, if you have a really good fit in the saddle and you're feeling, you're more confident. So mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a lot of truth in that, you know. You know, going through this stuff, you gotta be easy on yourself. You gotta pay attention to your thoughts. You know, I mean, likely, more than likely, it's our thoughts that, you know, that we default to whenever we get challenged, you know, stressed or anxious, and people, we have these patterns of thinking, and, you know, these loops keep playing in our head about worry and all of that stuff. You know, identifying that kind of stuff, you know, and knowing what that internal conversation or narrative in our head, you know, that kind of shapes us. So I want to make sure that the thoughts that we're putting, you know, our energy behind, you know, that allow us to move forward and go closer to, you know, developing what we want versus, you know, going backwards.
I remember going to this horse class, somewhat of a seminar thing at this barn, and it was so weird. It was like they were trying to get you connected with your animal. So you had to stand out there and you had to move your arms around and feel the energy. Now, Nate, this was, you know, I don't know. I just couldn't buy into it. but that was what they were trying to do.
I don't know too much about that. So.
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me. You know, I've been around them long enough where I get that split second like, oh, it's going to go bad, you know?
Yeah, it can go bad quickly, you know? And so that's why, you know, I had a lot of conversations with people. I'm like, you know, you have to ride your bull, you know? And I see a lot of people that get in trouble that, you know, they're kind of just passengers up there, and, you know, on the mule, he knows.
Well, I think some people are bothered by what other people think about their writing.
Yeah.
You know, and that really shouldn't be. I mean, people can be pretty abrasive and very critical, you know, about your abilities. But don't let that hold you back. I mean,
no, that's what I'm saying. Confidence aside, with all this stuff that we're doing with our meals, our writing, our training, our you name it, it's a journey for everybody. Everybody's on their own path, you know, and not everybody's in the same place. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals that, yeah, I mean, you're right. People can just flat get mean about stuff, but yeah, I mean, what other people think, who cares?
Right, really. And you know, when a person gets abrasive like that, that just shows you right out front the kind of person they are. And
it has more to do with them than it does you.
Sure.
So, and you know, that's the way I look at it. And, you know, whatever. And that's something that we learn, and we got to keep learning and keep practicing, you know.
Sure.
And it's tough. I mean, you know, even from a training aspect, I mean, everything aside from this podcast, you know, not everybody agrees with everything that I do, you know, and that's fine. I don't care. And to each their own, you know, and yeah, I get criticism. I get, you know, things like that. But if I worried about that all the time, I wouldn't go anywhere.
Well, and you know what? You're out there, and that makes you a target.
Well, I don't know about that, but you know, I mean, it's just, you know, you got to tell yourself, you know, even with the confidence game or anything else like that, you got to tell yourself, this is for you. You're doing it for you. You're doing what's best for you. And people either they understand that that's part of where you're at and that's your journey or not. And I mean, that's just the bottom line of it. You know, it's what you're doing for you. And that's what you got to do. That's the bottom line.
You know, Nate, you're just, you nailed it once again. I do so appreciate you coming back on. You're on Facebook, and you always say that's the best place to catch you is what, through the messenger or?
Yeah, something like that. That's totally fine. I've got a website finally up and running.
Oh, and it looks great.
Thank you. You know, I mean, I haven't really built one of those before, and it took a while, but it's going to need some more work, but it's good enough spot now. I think we can.
Yeah, good.
We can run with it. That's rockinntmules.com. So people can go on there and got links to emails, phone, everything else. People can call me direct, 623-692-8600.
All right. We will be back here. And thanks again.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
Calling all you outlaws and rebels that ride the dusty trail. The Desperado's Cookbook and Guide to Common Sense is filled with recipes and protocol for the modern-day saddle tramp. Easy recipes for home and on the trail. Kick it up with Wild Horse Whiskey Pie and serve the all-time favorite, Stampede Peggy's Cowboy Spaghetti. There's advice in the Common Sense section on the art of romance, how to go courting, and how to handle the in-laws. The Desperado's Cookbook and Guide to Common Sense is your kick-butt approach to life, and it is available at everycowgirlsdream.com and other participating outlets.
If you'd like to be a guest on the show or a sponsor, send me an email, Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at everycowgirlsdream.com. Gotta go. My mule is looking for me.